You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Hey, it's the After Party with Chris and Sarah. We're here to talk about Preacher.
Preach!
A little late on this one, which was not our fault. This was the fault of AMC.
The fault of the Lord!
They didn't put up the new episode until like a few hours before it aired, so we're like, that's not doing us any good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a life.
You do. Despite some amount of skepticism from people who don't know better, you do.
Right.
Yeah.
If a life is just sitting inside all day in front of a computer and staring at a screen, then yes.
That sounds like life.
I have a life.
Sounds like a very familiar life for many of our listeners and me.
Is it a good Christian life?
I don't see how that's relevant.
Preacher!
Oh, it's relevant to this.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. This week's episode, The South Shall Rise Again, words I never thought I'd hear myself say out loud.
The South shall come again.
Come again.
As I mentioned in the previous episode.
You know, one thing that's nice right off the bat I'll say about this episode, hey, stuff actually happens this week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even though it's still certainly confusing to some degree of where this is all going, hey, at least there's a decent amount of action and moving the story forward. Like, I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
I mean, right off the bat, we get, you know, I mean, it's audience pleasing as far as I'm concerned to start with like 10 minutes of the Sandoval Killers and more of his backstory in the lovely town of Ratwater.
Oh, yeah, I've been to that town.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did they have a good tourist trade?
No, but I picked up something there.
Was it from drinking the rat water?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing we get out of this is that maybe he's going to have kind of a hate-on for preachers by the time he gets to modern day, because a preacher shot his horse.
Yeah. Well, and caused him to be too late coming in for, you know. Delivering medicine, which I think was the biggest change to that backstory, because in the comics, of course, it's just some, you know, gang or whatever that caused him to be late. Well, it was a blizzard first.
Yes.
But then it was also that gang.
So it was,
I don't know.
Yeah, like combination of God and dicks.
Well.
God dicks.
God dicks. God is a dick.
And it seems like he heads back out, presumably to go kill a whole bunch of people, which I look forward to seeing.
Just like a side note, on your screen, there's like a, I guess, an article about Preacher, and it says the sheriff snaps, and I thought it said ginger snaps.
You're like, there were werewolves in this movie? Nope, just woman having their first flowering.
Huh?
That's what Ginger Snaps is actually about.
Yeah,
it's a werewolf as a metaphor for female onset of female puberty.
Well, yeah.
It's a good movie.
If you've once a month.
I don't think they're the first people to attach that metaphor either, but they're certainly the most prominent.
Yeah.
But no, the first flowering in this one.
the flowering of the arse space.
Yes. You mentioned the sheriff, Sheriff Root, who is the dad of arse space here. And sure enough, some people break into their house and basically like, man, nasty. This is a nasty town.
So I just got this, and I'm sure it was presented in previous episodes, that the girl Tracy, who's in a coma,
yes,
was somehow involved in Arseface's face shooting.
Yeah, we still, well, like, apparently, like, presumably. I think they've said, yes, he did try to take his own life, and that's what happened with his face, but probably in relation to something that happened with this girl, and why she's in a coma, and some way that he's responsible for it, that's unclear. Maybe it was a suicide pact.
Could have been.
Yeah, they were in love, and probably wouldn't be again if she comes out of the coma, because his face looks like an ass.
Well,
maybe
he's
more
so damn sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I look forward to him becoming like the new Kurt Cobain like he does in the comic books.
Yeah. But he's so sweet.
Yeah, whereas it actually hurt to see that with the spray paint on the wall, with the, you know, the shotgun owners like, finish the job. I'm like, wow, it takes a special kind of douchebag.
Yeah, and he's like, my dad's sad, and it's my fault. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Arseface. Your dad's an asshole. And you're so sweet.
And, like, even to the point where, like, he's going to Jesse to go, like, can you help me? with my dad. It's like all he can think of is like, my dad needs help. Yeah. He's unhappy. And you're like, you are like the sweetest thing on the planet.
He cut his dad's omelet because that's what he thought his dad needed.
Which I'm presuming that's going to go where the comic goes, where at one point for a while, Arseface wants revenge on the preacher for killing his father.
But yeah, we'll see if that happens.
I'm thinking that, like, there's something goes terribly wrong with whatever he does to his father. Much like we just saw, well, Jesse using his words so much, he's, like, pretty much at the, you know, at the coffee shop going, like, give me an extra punch on my card. Yeah. He's just using it wherever he can.
They're
now
just punching forever. She can't stop punching.
Yeah, and like, you know, him doing the thing with the mother of the girl in the coma and saying, like, forgive him. I mean, like, that's, you wonder what's happening inside that woman's head, because other people have been, like we see in this one, the guy, I'm blanking on his name, the guy who's, who he forced to put the gun in his own mouth.
He's like, Dick Face McGee.
Yes, Dick Face McGee. He like, Donnie, he remembers doing it and not wanting to do it and everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so you're conscious you don't want to do the things you're doing on some level if they go against your nature, but you have to.
But the whole, like, making somebody feel something.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, like, the first time he used it was when he told that guy played by one of those comedians who's in, like, everything.
Yeah.
To go, what did he tell him to do?
I can't remember something specifically about his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was probably fighting it, too.
Like,
but
show
he
her
keep
your heart or something.
Yes,
like that.
That's what it was.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, once again, like, this is like the, like, opening a genie bottle. Be very careful about the wording of what you wish
so
for.
That was literal. And then the other guy in the diner where he told him to be patient, I wonder if that might on the side unfold as like his mother-in-law like ends up killing him or something, and he's like, well, I just needed to be patient.
Yeah, or like uses it in a way that has no relation even to that circumstance.
Yeah.
And it is something you wouldn't want to be patient
like in a
for.
Fire. He's like, his house is on fire, and he's like, well, if I'm just patient enough, it'll go out.
Well, we see Jesse now kind of on a high as he accepted he has this power and it works. And he's using it all over the place, thinking he's helping people. But in the meantime, he's also just found out that this power in him is not God, as the two, like, redneck angels.
They're not rednecks. They're English.
They're British rednecks.
They're not rednecks.
They're what's the word? Chavish.
No, they don't have chav. Accent.
They're like, you know, like, they belong in a, in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Sure.
Yeah, they're like British street thugs.
Yeah. They're not tough enough.
Well, they want to be. They're just not good at it. Yeah. Yeah. They're just kind of incompetent, which you'd think angels would be a little bit.
Well, the tall one, not so much. The tall one's the sweet angel that heaven likes. And the shorter one's like, I'm just trying to do my job.
Which makes you wonder what's going on there with the phone call that keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. And then they're finally able to decide what they want to say. And it stops. And you're like, what does that mean?
It goes, this is a courtesy call from.
I mean, I wonder if the next step is them and sending down the Saint of All Killers.
Mm. Yeah.
Which would make sense concurrent with leading to where the comic went.
Yeah.
That's a way you could see them getting to that next step, you know, that has to happen. I do think that we're finally seeing the peak of his being thrilled with this power and thrilled with God. And now we're going to start to see the fallout as things start to go terribly wrong.
Oh,
we
yeah.
see the beginning of that with Quinn Cannon, who was told, serve God. And like, what the fuck? He just murdered the shit out of those people.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is that serving God?
Well, what does serve God mean?
Well, if you're
serve God for dinner?
Yeah, it's like to
it's
serve
a
man. It's a cookbook. Where's God? We need God in a nice like hollandaise sauce.
Mm. God's a little spicy. All that hellfire.
So I'll be curious to know the way in which he's interpreted that message in his head.
Oh, yeah.
To go that way. But just the beginning, I think, of things going terribly wrong and Jesse becoming very disillusioned with God and heaven and everything, which will get it back on track to where we want the show to be in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Tulip is about had it with Jesse.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
To the point of having meaningless, disillusioned sex with Cassidy.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's very, like, I get it. on both sides. I guess it makes sense to someone. To her, it's kind of a revenge, you know,
yeah.
in a way.
Why?
Or like a sort of like, I don't want to care about this guy anymore, so I guess I'll do this. This guy actually really likes me.
She still doesn't know that they know each other, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And Cassidy definitely doesn't know that her boyfriend is Cassie. Otherwise, well, who knows? Maybe he would do the same thing. Maybe he wouldn't.
He probably would.
Probably would. Yeah. Cassie is a shameless rogue.
Yes. A man who, naked, probably looks like a twig.
But I wonder if that will not even play out as something Jesse finds out about till much later in the series.
Yeah. It's, I mean, he's got to find out somehow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, I don't know. It was not, I wasn't pleased with that brief scene.
Well, I like that Cassie flat out gives us the rules to vampirism in his world. And gives him to Tulip, who is relatively unfazed. Like, huh, that's a thing.
She's cautious at first.
Yeah.
And then when he clarifies something, she's like, all right, get out. I'd be like, I think science needs to study you.
Yeah.
Or something.
But that's not really very Tulip.
Oh, no, that's
not
Tulip.
She doesn't even have any scientist
friends.
That's
why I'm not in Anvil. Because I'd be like, there is exactly zero science in this entire town.
I can't imagine why anyone would stay in a town this small.
Did you see those hipsters in the diner?
Yeah.
I was like, those are like Christian hipsters.
There probably was like a serial killer that was from that town at some point, and they're like hipsters going through taking pictures at various serial killer hotspots.
Asking about favorite Bible hunks. I don't know what that was. Gospels.
Yeah.
which saint's the hottest one?
I have been witness to that sort of thing with like youth Christian culture being like that, and it's weird.
Were you witness or were you?
I wasn't witnessing witnessed. The. No. I didn't. Yeah, none of that. I just meant I saw it happen, and I was like, "This is there's something just vaguely creepy to me."
Yeah.
About that, where I'm just like, I get it. It's like, you know, these people are like they're absorbed with their newfound flush with love of God and all this and want to know everything about it. And I guess I feel, I don't know, from my perspective, it just makes me sad. But
I guess it's like us talking about comic books or TV shows at a diner or something. But
people have overheard us talking at a place and we're like, oh, that just makes me sad.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, who gives a shit what happened to Spider-Man?
Well, I agree, but...
What?
But I do give a shit about what happens to Jesse Custer and company.
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of back on track this episode to a certain extent. I'm still cautious, but now I can see how it seems these threads they've been building are heading in the direction of getting it on track with the comic book again,
which
makes me happy. The one weird question I thought was, there was that weird scene where somebody's futzing with a bunch of dials, and we don't see who it is or what they're doing and what the purpose of that
Grail.
Is. It's just out of nowhere.
Grail.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Grail, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've only seen one other hint of the Grail at all. And
yes.
Only from the context of someone who's read the comic, you assume that's got to be Star.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's review of Preacher, and we are going to have on time our review for the next episode because we're
going
to watch it right now.
Yes!
So listen to that one right this time, right when the episode ends. You can get on oneofus.net and listen to the next episode of Preacher.
Hey, Chris.
Yes?
Serve me tacos.
Yes, I will go get tacos. And then I come back with, like,
tacos
made from your pets or something.
Silly, I don't have anything that I love, so it doesn't matter.
Damn.
I'm kidding.
That lowers my chances.